Hey y'all, this is Nada and you're listening to Underground. I am so sorry, it's been a while, but I recently moved houses and I've been setting up my studio from scratch, so it's been crazy. But without further ado, let's talk about our very special guest tonight. She is insanely talented, super inspiring, and honestly needs no introduction. But here's a little hint. She's from Down Under and is currently based in London. She owns two record labels and is known for her wide range of sounds that include like crazy bass lines and almost everything have like a hint of psychedelic to it. She makes amazing groovy music, but at the same time makes like insanely hypnotic and like hardcore techno music as well. Her name is Tenille and we all know her as Hi. Hi, Tenille. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You were a part of a psych band as a guitarist and a vocalist when you first started. Can you take me back in time and tell me everything, like how it all started for you music-wise?
Well, basically, I was making music just with a guitar since I was like quite young. And then sort of when I moved to Sydney from Perth, I got more into like psychedelic music and shoegaze and post-punk and I played in a few different like sort of psyche shoegazy bands over the years, but the one that sort of took me to London was called Dark Bells, and we were together for about 5 years, and I played guitar and was the vocalist in the band. I really loved it. It was really like my, you know, it was all I imagined that I would do in my life was like playing bands and stuff at that point, you know, so life really, really took some twists and turns, that's for sure.
Speaking of that, I read that you were on a trip to Bergen where you got inspired. So what happened?
Well, I was sort of playing records at that point, but it was like, you know, there was a lot of like Afrobeat and like also like Ghanaian music and Turkish funk and psych and, you know, music from all around the world, really. And that was what I was listening to so much. And everything kind of had a bit of a psychedelic element to it. But I had a really good friend of mine who was a real techno head. Our music taste always quite clashed, I think. She was, her visa had run out. So she was going back to Australia. And I knew that she loved Berghain so much. So another friend and I saved up for bought her a flight to Berlin. So we all went to Berlin together.
So cute.
Yeah. And did the, I think we were lined up for a good hour and a half or 2 hours or something. It was the first time I'd ever like seen the place, you know.
Yeah.
I knew obviously a lot about it. And we ended up getting in, and just that whole kind of experience of like being in there and hearing, I understood, I think when you hear the kind of music that's made for that environment in Berghain, it just, I don't know, it has a, it just all kind of locked in to my brain a little better. And yeah, and from then, I feel like, I had a real sort of turnaround in the music that, you know, I started listening to more like house and techno, and it was a real sort of like discovery for me, because it was, I think it was something that I'd really sort of screwed my nose up at for so long. I felt it was so like mechanical, and I didn't see the, you know, if you're not listening to something enough or for long enough, you kind of don't hear the elements that like related to the music that I love, like, you know, even krautrock and how similar, you know, how connected they all are. So that was, the rest is history.
Can you tell me the whole story about coconut beats?
And, coconut beats.
And also, yeah. also like all the coconut beats party at Dalston.
Sure.
Right, yeah.
yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Basically, they were that was like the name of some parties that I used to put on. Again, it was really just about celebrating music from around the world. And it was when I really first started playing records out. The kind of music that I was like collecting vinyl wasn't really typically fitting into like a, you know, the weekend like party tunes. So I started this other party just to, and I had some friends who were collecting really interesting records as well. And it was just a way for me to have like the freedom to do that and to play this kind of, you know, weird and amazing music that I really loved. And then, you know, it's sort of, its popularity like peaked and troughed, I guess, at points, at, because when I very first started doing the party, it was in Dalston. It was long before I had like the Phonox residency and stuff. So
yeah, I mean, that's where it all took off.
Yeah. So I feel like really grateful that I had, you know, we had these like few like really great parties that sometimes there would, you know, the room, I think you could fit like 100 people in there. Maybe the first place that I did it, maybe you could fit like, yeah, maybe even like 50 people or something in there, you know, 20 people in there, and it was a vibe. And that was kind of part of the beauty of it as well, is that like people came down because they knew that there was this kind of music being played in there, and it was like,
niche and
not,
like,
yeah. And it was like, not that it makes a huge difference, but it was like vinyl only. And it was like, you know, these really kind of records that were really precious to me and my friends that were playing. And then when I first started producing music, and there was, we were talking about what the best way to release it was, and it was decided to like self-release. And I was like, well, what about this, this Coconut Beats name that I had? And the idea with what I was going to do with Coconut Beats was to then start to release other artists and you know, like obscure artists from around the world. And then as life kind of sort of dragged me along and things became busier with like DJing and production for me, that I never got the chance to do it, but it's what we're doing now with the new label, which we can talk about later.
I was going to ask you about that later, but can you tell me about your new record label? And you just launched it.
Sure thing. It's called, it's a name that I've had in and out of projects of mine for like years and years and years. And it's called Radical New Theory. And I started it with my partner, and we basically started it with the idea of it being kind of like a springboard label or like a tastemaker kind of label. So I just felt like, especially when I had my Radio 1 show, I was getting sent so much unreleased, unsigned music, really talented artists that had never seen the light of day before. And I thought I had that platform to be able to play it. And I kind of wanted to do something more than that. So I thought, how sick would it be to like start a record label that was just about giving an artist their first, like.
That is so sick.
Yeah, and then having like I feel like it's a great thing to be able to do if you have a decent platform to like say, hey, everyone listen to this, we're just putting it out on our label. And then hopefully like a bigger label can go, oh, let's hear what else they're doing. And, you know, so the idea is to kind of, you know, and offer like a bit of mentorship and that sort of thing. But it was purely for like, I feel like I was given a real lucky break very early on. And I think if I can play a small role in doing that for other people, then that's like huge success for me. So that's really the kind of ethos of the label. Unfortunately, when we started it, the week that the first release came out, I think that that was when the pandemic really kind of wiped everything out. So
I know,
we're Aussie. Sitting on like Aussie, yeah. It was such a, we're still like so proud of that as our first release. We've been speaking with like we're sitting on like a lot of music at the minute. We're just hatching a plan for the next lot of releases, which we're really excited about.
Yeah. I don't know how many people actually give back. That's so sweet.
Oh, it's important, you know.
Yeah, it is.
Keeps it ticking.
All right. After Coconut Beats, you had a residency at London.
Yes, at Phonox. Yeah.
Yeah, and then BBC released your Essential Mix that went on to win the accolade of the Essential Mix of the Year. And
yes,
then
correct.
They also then gave you like a slot in their monthly radio. Oh, yeah. What was that experience like for you?
The whole kind of journey from like starting the residency at Phonox to. Really serendipitously, I was offered the Essential Mix a few weeks before my final day of my residency, and then it ended up airing the night of the residency, like the finale of the residency. So it all kind of, you know, the timeline of it was really beautiful, I thought. Yeah, as fate had it, I ended up winning the Essential Mix of the Year. And I think even just at the time, and at the point that I was in my career then, like having been offered that was like, the fact that I was like, even like someone like Pete Tong or someone had any idea that, you know, I was making music or that I was DJing was just like huge for me. And then the sort of everything kind of blooming out of that was really cool. You know, I think my head spun for about 6 months after, after even getting like shortlisted for the Essential Mix of the Year. But then from that, I would think it was a few months after that, they offered me a pilot for my own residency show, which was super nerve-wracking actually, but I had been doing radio for a bit on Giles Peterson station, and then and I'd done, you know, had a regular show on Rinse before, and so I felt like kind of well versed in, I knew how to sort of deliver a show, but I just knew that this was gonna, it was like commercial radio and it was like quite a different deal. But yeah, and then ended up doing it and I absolutely loved it. Again, it was just a great opportunity to play, like, I wanted to really give as much exposure to, like, you know, new artists and then get on some really interesting guests as well. So I loved it.
Also, like, speaking of releases and music, God, I love your music. So
thank you.
I love music which have, like, really raw percussion and, like, heavy bass lines and, like, also, like, dirty synths. And you do it all. So I have to ask, when you're producing or, like, When you want to make something new, when you're starting something new, what's going on in your head? Like, do you have an idea and then you go around it, or do you kind of noodle around and then just stumble over something? Or what are you thinking?
Many different things, actually. Usually I'll go in with a bit of an idea, or maybe like a sample, or I'll just get a bit of an idea for something that I, you know, something that I've been thinking of for a couple of days. But always what happens is I'll go in and I'll start playing around with something, and then maybe then I'll, like, take the sample out, or maybe it'll, like, sort of morph into something else. But it's always the idea that I originally have never is realized. It's always just turns into something else. And I go, oh, you might sort of do something by mistake, or you might be processing sounds or something like that. And then you end up, you know, over here and somewhere that I'm like, nothing ever really fully goes to plan. But that's, I think that's something to be kind of treasured as well. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a real, like, I think because of the way that I make music is really, has always been very, like, solitary and about, like, either being in the studio by myself or, like, in headphones. And a lot of it I feel is, like, sound manipulation. So that's something that can just, you know, you can sit the whole day and just be playing with, like, you know, you want something to have a particular texture. So you can just really, like, indulge in that. And then sometimes you forget to, like, step back and listen to the, like, entire track, I guess. But yeah. I feel like it's a real, becomes like quite an obsessive thing when making music for me, because I will be sort of unhappy with it until it has, like, until the texture of it's right, or until, like, something has, like,
you pictured it a certain way and you want it exactly like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So when you're producing, what are, like, the plugins that you use the most, or, like, the kind of effects that you use the most, or, like, your favorites, or, like?
The one that I use the most definitely is Decapitator. It's a Waves plugin. It's just like a distortion, basically,
mm-hmm.
Or like a gain kind of thing. I put it on everything, basically. It just gives it a bit of extra. That, and I really like their Redux. It's like a bit crusher. I feel like it, if used in the right way, you can make things sound like kind of a bit tapey, or you can make them sound really metallic as well. So I really like to use those ones. Yeah, they just kind of, I use those two together a lot just to get, like, to add, like, texture, mm-hmm. to like, ambience, to give them a little, like, textured feel.
Also, like, when you're producing, what are, like, the challenges that, you know, you face?
I think the biggest one for me has been, like, a lack of confidence. Like, you know, you really? Can spend so much. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think
self-doubt is huge. I think anyone, like, any artist will, like, probably come up against the same thing. It's like you can have these moments of thinking, like, something's brilliant and you're really proud, and then, you know, you can listen to it through, like, a different, you know, you might be in a different mood, or you might have heard, then gone and listened to, like, another record that of someone else that you think is excellent, and then you can just be sort of overly critical of your own stuff. So I think that's I think also that, you know, it sort of keeps things in check, so you're like, your head never gets too big, and you're always, like, trying a bit harder to make things sound better, or to, you know, to make better music. So I think that's I don't think that's something that's ever going to completely go away.
I mean, a lot of musicians feel that way, so what do you do to, like, kind of
Well, one thing that I've done, like, sort of generally to try and combat that, I think because of those things, and like I was saying before about being very, like, always been very, like, solitary when making music, I have sort of tried to, like, put myself out there a little bit more and, like, collaborate with other artists, and that's been really, really helpful, because I think, you know, you're sort of showing, like, a vulnerability, and then, yeah, that for me was a big help. But I think, you know, just, like, stepping back from what you're doing sometimes, and just you know, but having like a sense of pride about what you're doing, I think is really great. I think especially, I think a lot for like female producers as well, just like it can be like such a like a natural thing to be like self-deprecating with what you're doing or thinking, oh, maybe this is not quite good enough. And I think sometimes just taking a step back and being like, oh, maybe this is like, yeah, trying to listen to things differently or view it through a different lens. And,
do you ever feel the pressure of kind of making best songs right after the other? Because like you've made so many great songs.
Always, but only from myself. I think I put quite a lot of pressure on myself to make it, like make things, push it that bit further, you know. Mm. But last year I've been making an album which is almost finished. Which I'm again, like what we were just talking about, I've gone through times of thinking, oh, I'm so blown away by this or so proud, and then other days where I'm just like, might as well go and throw my computer in the canal kind of thing. So but it's been a really great process because obviously I've had time, I've reached out and worked with like other artists, I've got some like collaborators on the record, and I've worked with like real instruments, and you know, I've worked with like a strings arranger and stuff like that. So I think been a really nice experience of like reaching out like that.
I'm so glad you're opening up about it because I feel like a lot of people feel that way, and
absolutely
and if you look at people who you look up to also struggling with something like that, you can, you know, you can do something, you can grow.
I think it's a really natural part of like any creative process, is like self-doubt is always going to be in there, because I think that shows that there's like a bit of a, like an honesty to what you're doing as well, you know.
That's true.
Yes.
What has been like your biggest high or like most special moments from your journey so far?
I think big thing for me was signing to Mute Records.
Yeah.
So that was, that, you know, they've been like a label that I've really, really loved for such a long time. So that was a real, for me, that was a real like mark of pride. It was one of those, I think especially coming up in bands as well, it's like Mute was always kind of on our like pipe dream, you know. The day that I went in and with Daniel Miller and the gang and like signed a contract, it was just I felt like it was one of the proudest days of my life actually. And then also, I mean, there's some pretty like remarkable shows that I've, especially in times like now whenever it seems like such a world away, but when I think back or see a video or get a reminder of things like playing Sonar or like even my own show, that like your own kind of sold out shows and stuff, I think it's, you know, it's a, I think you're allowed to be kind of proud of those sort of things as well. Can't wait for them to come back.
Yeah, I don't know. Also, vaccine today, what's that like?
I did, absolutely. My arm aches a little. It's better than it was. They said it was, you might feel a little heavy. You know, I went in there, but I was offered it. I do volunteering at like a food bank. And so everyone that does that, they class it as essential work. So they've offered us all the vaccine, which is fantastic. Though I just felt quite emotional when I went in there, because I think it was just like, been just hoping for something like this for so long, you know, for people that want a vaccine and the most vulnerable people. And so no crazy side effects yet. I think it's fine. I had the Pfizer one, so yeah, we'll see.
a few words of wisdom for budding artists that are listening in.
Take your time, I would say. Take your time, and it can feel like everything is like a million years off, or it can feel like waiting 6 months to release something, but feels like too long to wait. But like I think sometimes really sitting in what you're doing and kind of developing your sound and like just really like immersing yourself in it is like the best advice I was ever given, because I was always just wanted to, like, I'm so impatient and just want everything to happen like now. But you know, if I had released some of the music that I was desperate to put out back then, I wonder if things would have turned out differently. Do you know what I mean? So I think sometimes just sitting in what you're doing and developing it and kind of enjoying that part of it as well. Enjoying the bit where it's, you're just like creating something before people have heard it. I think that's, you know, that's a real, real treasure.
All right. So that's everything. Thank you so much for giving me
your
time. I cannot believe I'm talking to you. This is really
great. Yay, me too. Well, hopefully, you know, when the world heals a bit, I'll be back over your way. I can do some more dancing because
that
was such a great, I loved that trip so much. It was like one of the last things that I did as well. It was just over a year ago. But anyway, fingers crossed, huh? Maybe within the year, we hope.
I'm crossing my fingers.
Yeah.
So that was Hai. And if you guys have any sort of questions that you would like me to ask my guests in the next episode, or just generally any questions, feel free to send me a message, a voice message. To do that, you can click on the link below, or you could also send me a message on my Instagram handle, which is @NidhaChakrabarty, NidhaChakrabarty. Until next time, thank you for tuning in.